Hi there, this is Dennis Velko from Out Bureau. You're listening to Out Bureau Voices, where we have engaging conversations with LGBTQ professionals, entrepreneurs, and community leaders from around the world. Thank you so much for joining us today. And today we are speaking with Jeff Hammerberg, who is the founder and CEO of GayRealEstate.com. So whenever you're looking for your real estate here within the U.S., check out GayRealEstate.com to find a gay-friendly LGBT person to represent your property or help you find that next fabulous home. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Dennis. I appreciate you having me on, and thanks for the great introduction.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I know we have had a couple of conversations over the last year or two. So I have a pretty good knowledge of your past to a certain level, but I always like to have you share a little bit about your journey to, of course, we'll get to GayRealEstate.com and all the features and benefits of utilizing it. But because this is focused on the entrepreneurial side of life, could you give us a little bit of your history and then kind of the evolution into how that site came to be?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm a Minnesota boy. I was born in Duluth, Minnesota, and attended disillusioned by what was happening in the hometown, and I decided to join the Navy. So at 17 years old, I left the frigid winters of Minneapolis and landed in the balmy San Diego, California area. Spent 4 years in the Navy.
Well, one, I'm also a veteran, so thank you for your service. I was U.S. Army, so I can also understand wanting to get the heck out of Dodge and utilizing that to do so. So good move for that. And San Diego was one of my favorite cities. I absolutely love it.
It was great. I can remember as the plane was coming down, looking out the window and seeing the palm trees and the beaches, and my heart just opened. I was like, wow, I was home. So 4 years in the military, worked in the navigation department of an aircraft carrier. When I was discharged, I moved to Denver, Colorado, and went to work in the commercial real estate business for about 6 years at BCED, which is the Canadian phone company, developing and managing high-rise office buildings in downtown Denver. And then went to work for the Linpro Company, an East Coast developer, staying in Denver, developing condominium projects and a low-rise office warehouse type projects. So in 1991, the economy got really tough in Colorado, and the commercial business took a hit. The oil industry just went in the tank. Every business in Denver was built on the oil industry, so the economy got really bad. Mm. At that point, RE/MAX, one of the very first RE/MAX offices in the country, they were actually founded in Denver, Colorado. They had an office in one of the buildings that I managed. So I went downstairs and said to the broker who had been paying me rent for 5 or 6 years, I said, "Hey, Paul, I'm thinking about getting into the real estate business." And he said, "Well, Jeff, RE/MAX only hires experienced agents. It's above the crowd." And I was like, "Come on, Paul, like, you know me, you know, I kind of talked my way into it." So he's like, "Listen, if you go to real estate school, come back and see me and we'll have a conversation." So I, in fact, did go get my real estate license, came back to see Paul, went to work in the office. The rest is kind of history. I spent a number of years in the residential real estate business. In about 1993, I was working at a RE/MAX office again in Littleton, a different office, and a couple walked into the office to buy a home. Now, it's not that odd for a couple to walk into a real estate office and buy a home. typically you're assigned to the floor agent. This is an agent that takes duty during certain periods of the day. So that agent met with this couple. Nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary. And when that couple left, I was shocked, saddened, and mad because that couple wasn't just like every other couple that walks into a real estate office. They were a gay male couple. And when they left the office, there was lots of ribbing and joking and just really poor taste, just lots of really demeaning and hateful comments happening in the back room. And I thought to myself, you know, this process isn't great. And, you know, to one of the things that happened was I was in the closet. So I was at fault myself for not being out in my office. You know, Littleton, Colorado, even to this day, is a very conservative place. Our office was, you know, a few blocks from Columbine High School. So what happened was I decided that something needed to happen. I noticed that there was this, I call it quiet homophobia in the entire real estate industry, commercial and residential. So I started a small database with a tiny little classified ad in the Advocate magazine, the back of the Advocate magazine. And that first year, I had a few people contact me, and I was able to start building a database of agents that were gay, lesbian, or gay friendly. And what happened at that time, the website, there wasn't a website, it was before the internet. I'm really dating myself now. So it was just that toll-free number. Eventually, along came some message boards, which we were able to post on online. And then, of course, that's growing today to be gayrealestate.com. So what started with one or two deals that first year or two in business, today is we close about a deal a day nationwide.
Wow, that's pretty great. So one, have to commend you on, you know, seeing the need and the opportunity. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, one of the best ways to start a business is, one, you first have a passion and interest in the area that you're looking at, and two, you see a need. And boy, did that, it sounds like that really just came literally knocking on your door. So, but then you also have to have the, I guess, courage and the ability or be really scrappy and learn as you go to be able to create something out of that. So, kudos to you for seeing that opportunity and taking the action. I have a saying that I use often, and that is magic and miracles happen when you believe in yourself and you take action. Because, you know, I'm sure you know people as well that talk a lot and dream a lot and so forth, but they never actually take any action towards doing something. So this was not only a business opportunity for you, it's also a great service for the community. So so great job on that. Now, just out of curiosity, because I don't think I've ever clarified with you on this, when you say that we close basically on average one deal a day, when realtors around the country, they might work for different brokers and so forth in their local markets. So is it, are you like a brokerage? Is it kind of in that structure, or is it more of just, is it an affiliation? I'm just trying to understand that kind of a, how that network is coalesced.
Yes, thanks for the question. Great question. It essentially is a free database of LGBTQ realtors. So I am a licensed broker because I collect referral fees on closed business.
I see.
So if you were a broker in Florida, you have the opportunity to put your profile on gayrealestate.com at no cost. And if you get a client via gayrealestate.com, when you earn a commission, you pay a referral fee to gayrealestate.com. And that, and what gayrealestate.com does, what I do, and I know that you see this at Oakboro, you have the congratulations. I know I've told you this before, but you have the largest presence on LinkedIn for our LGBTQ community. And I know that that is no small feat. And so you see the work that I do daily. I don't have teams of people. I'm posting city guides. I'm posting housing information. I'm posting new city ordinances that affect the LGBTQ community. So all day, every day, I'm marketing the company. I have a couple of employees that handle relations with realtors and then follow up with buyers and sellers to make sure their needs are met, that sort of thing. GayRealEstate.com, collecting those referral fees, we also have major expenses. I mean, it's like there's $20,000 a month probably in marketing fees with Google and Yahoo and LinkedIn and Facebook advertising, that sort of thing. The other thing that I'm very proud of at GayRealEstate.com is we have a giving program. And at GayRealEstate.com, we support 21 national LGBTQ nonprofits monthly. We send checks monthly to 21 organizations, 21 LGBTQ nonprofits. Everything from, we just sponsored the Matthew Shepard 2020 Gala, which happened last month. We send checks to Equality California, HRC. We're big partners with Lambda Legal. We're partners and sponsor the neighborhood section at Family Equality. So we really believe in giving back to the community. And I always tell people it does matter where you spend your money.
It sure does.
Many of us find a realtor through a family member or a friend. I want to make sure that the realtor that I'm using that's going to earn a $10,000 or $15,000 commission is not writing a check to Donald Trump's reelection campaign. And thank goodness that's not a possibility, but you get
well, right. Well, thank goodness that's over since we're now over the election and it's clear he hasn't won. So, just because this will live on the internet forever and not just be, and because right now we're recording this in the week after the US election in 2020, that's why that reference. But you know, you want to make sure that your funds are, the person that you're giving the, or you know, that commission to, or who is earning that commission is also going to be not do our own community harm. Whoever that might be, whatever organization that might be. So, and you know, and certainly receiving referrals from local friends and so forth are good. But I love the fact that you have, you know, the somewhat of a certified LGBT friendly gay realtor system out there, because you do have the touch points and the follow through, the feedback from what I heard with the buyer or seller to check on, you know, how they were doing, what they thought about the experiences. So even if that isn't like a star rating on your system, you do have that internally.
Yes, but as a matter of fact, we do have a star rating system.
Oh, awesome.
So, if you went to Fort Lauderdale, for instance, where you live, you could look through the list of agents that are in Fort Lauderdale and read the real-time client feedback that they have received. So it's think of Yelp, think of, you know,
okay,
a place like that.
Good. Glad that you have that. It's been a while since I've looked at your website, because I actually have used your website in the past.
Yay!
So, so having moved around numerous times for past large corporate clients in my past career, I would be at the shortest time a year to 2 years, max kind of four. When I knew I was going to be somewhere for at least 2 years without major, pardon me, contract issues, we would buy a home. And I always went through the thing of, you know, just me and maybe too much HGTV over the years, but you know, I would buy the in the nicest neighborhood that I could afford, but try to get the, you know, the house that needed the kitchen refurbishment, its bathroom refurbishments, flooring. And I would prefer that the garden be completely unkept, or the last house that my ex and I bought together, the garden was the backyard and the front yard was just, in the backyard especially, was just so overgrown. And then once I went in there, it took, oh my gosh, like 3 months, but tore back, you know, and ripped out all of the junk trees and then unveiled essentially incredible bones.
Wow.
So by the time we ended up selling that, you know, we were one of the neighbors would walk by and say, oh my God, out of 330 homes, you have the best yard in this neighborhood. Yes.
I love that.
Go figure, the gays.
Right. It's funny. I do get questions, Dennis, and people will say, especially like right now, I happen to live in the central coast of California. It can be very expensive here, but there are cities around, and people will ask occasionally, like, where are the gays buying right now in LA? Or where are the gays buying, you know?
Really?
I was like, you know, looking for that diamond neighborhood that's eventually going to be too expensive to even live in.
Well, yes. Well, you know, we do have a tradition of kind of doing that, don't we? And that's actually what happened right here in Fort Lauderdale in the neighborhood of Wilton Manors, which is the gayest city on the planet. Like, yes. 80% is gay, literally.
Wow.
And
love it.
And it is an island, literally an island. If you look at the map, there's literally canals that surround the entire little city. And it's just north of downtown. And that city 15 years ago, the township area 15 years ago was nothing like it is today. It used to be known, you know, as kind of the sketchy area where you could get a whole house for practically nothing for rent. I mean, and now you can't possibly touch even a, you know, a two bedroom with a garage and a, you know, a quasi decent yard for the area. But, you know, you're looking at 500,000. If you, wow, if you don't have 500 at minimum, 500,000 to, you know, to be pre-qualified for at least that amount, don't even bother looking in Wilton Manors. You're
right.
You need to go further out. And then, you know, of course, as you know, then it starts to sprawl. So then, you know, about 8 or so years ago, Oakland Park just north of Wilton Manors started. And of course, all the areas around. You know how it goes. We start to then spread out in, you know, areas. But Fort Lauderdale overall, there's like, what area of Fort Lauderdale do gays not live in?
It, right. Is,
I mean, seriously, it's right. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Ah. But that's, you know, that's what I love about it. At my age, you know, I've lived in so many different cities personally. And for over 13 years, I used to travel 70 to 80% of my time, plus relocate every 2 to 4 years in among that. And I'm from Florida, from Central Florida, between Tampa and Orlando. And, you know, parents are in their mid 70s, and it's like, all right, well, you know, I've tried Orlando, and I like Orlando. I've tried St. Pete area, which is okay. And you know, after my divorce, I tried St. Pete, and then finally, I was just like, it just wasn't, you know, no offense to any of those areas, but I'm used to living in New York, Washington, D.C., Berlin, Paris, LA. And I like, personally, I like a little neighborhood feel within, you know, an area like here in Wilton Manors. But then having the rest of it. And then, of course, you're just 30 to 40 minutes away to Miami. So this is the perfect, and the level of gayness, sometimes it's a much, sometimes for different reasons. But to be able to know that I could, you know, walk out of my place and just a couple of blocks, go meet friends for, you know, food and drinks. It's kind of like what I loved about living in New York. You know, you were there, so your apartment, you know, get out of your apartment, walk a couple blocks or get in a taxi or whatever, to, you know, for 5 minutes, and you're meeting people out, you know. But that's my feel. I do have a question, and I have asked this in the group on LinkedIn now at least twice, is you have the most beautiful cityscape photos that I have ever seen. So, I mean, well, I know they're heightened, you know, but do you acquire them like that? Is there like a special like site that you've used to acquire your stock photography, or?
Yes. I mean, for the entrepreneurs out there, you can buy a subscription at depositphotos.com. And I think you can buy a subscription for maybe $99 a year that will give you 100 images.
Gotcha.
So switching over to the entrepreneurs for a minute, I love that site for photos. I use Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com, where you can get almost anything done for just $5. Marketing, videos, sales calls, update your resume. I mean, it's really an incredible resource. And then I use uplink.com and guru.com lots of times to find writers, an attorney. You can hire MBAs out of India for $7 an hour if you need to get a report done, that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
Let me circle back to the real estate thing, because I know you live in Wilton Manors in the Fort Lauderdale area, which I absolutely love. And I lived in Palm Springs for a while after we left Denver. We had a condominium there that we had bought where we had spent the winters there. And then we ended up moving there full time until this pandemic wouldn't let us travel in July and August, and the 122 degree temps kind of drove us out of there, but absolutely love both of those areas. But for the vast majority of LGBTQ people, that's not the reality. The
so
fact
true.
Is, in 28 states in the United States, you can still be kicked out of your home for being gay. The fact is, in all 50 states of the United States, you can be denied a mortgage as a gay couple or a gay individual just because of your sexuality. So there are very serious issues. And additionally, you talk about the rising prices. We've seen, you know, what's happened with the Castro. We've seen what's happened with the Village in New York City. You talk about what's happening right there in Wilton Manors with, you know, small ranches with no basements that you used to be able to buy for $130,000, now $500,000. So there are so many individuals in our community that can't afford that type of property and don't have the luxury of living in this LGBTQ utopia. In Palm Springs, the mayor and every city council member are gay as well. I don't think the gay population is as high as Wilton Manors, but it's at like 44%. So I understand that being able to walk down the street holding hands with your boyfriend, partner, husband, or wife, right? I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to go to the restaurant. I can remember my mom visiting us in Palm Springs, and we went into this restaurant, and she said, gee, there's a lot of men in here. She just got off the plane from Duluth, Minnesota. I'm like, yep, there sure is, Mom. But, you know, at gayrealestate.com, we publish gay city guides, and we do that specifically so LGBTQ people can come to our site, look at one of those guides, or look at the top 25 LGBTQ-friendly cities in America, and they can find a city that is affordable for them. So there's that balance between living in the perfect climate, yet living in a community that fully accepts LGBTQ people, living in a community where you can find a job, living in a community where there's lots of LGBTQ families. We all have different filters and different needs and different price ranges, and we try to cover all of that. It's very rare for us to have multi-million dollar buyers on our site. I mean, I think the average price is maybe $300,000, but we have $80,000 condos that are purchased, and we have some homes over $1 million. So we're here to serve everyone, and I think we provide that service.
Gotcha. If you happen to know off the top of your head, where would one of your realtors be that you think is like one of the most kind of remote areas?
My hometown, Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay. I thought you were going to come up with something like North Dakota or Alaska.
Well, what's interesting, Dennis, is we have over 2,000 realtors on the site, but we actually have almost 5,000 realtors in a database. Because if you go way, way, way back, probably in your life or my life, there was a time when we didn't want anyone to know we were gay. And that, or even gay friendly, if you're in one of these really small, really conservative communities. So we have a number of agents because gayrealestate.com is so visible and so highly searched. If you're an agent on there and someone puts your name in a Google search, gayrealestate.com is likely to be in the top position with your name. So we've had agents call us before that said, please get my name off of your site immediately. I'm gay friendly, but I can't have my name being exposed. That still happens in America, you know, and we're in Canada, Mexico, and we have a worldwide database.
Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. And it is unfortunate that does still have to happen today. And with your site, you're working on making that change happen from multiple sides for the buyer and seller as well as the realtor. And I'm striving to make headway on that through outbureau.com. So one of the things I'd like to do is just invite you to, if it's not already created, is to have a group on OutBureau for the realtor community, so that as people come onto the site, it's one more venue for realtors to find you and then learn about your website, and for buyers and sellers, you know, that might not be aware, but be able to ask questions and so forth. Maybe you could assign one of your team members to be the group moderator as outbureau.com grows.
Yeah, I appreciate that invitation, Dennis. I know we've chatted about that before, and I believe it or not, I think we've started to build that on your site, just haven't finished. So thanks for the reminder.
Yes. Well, it's very nice is that it's last year I was having, you know, technical issues. It's a lot being an entrepreneur of one and doing everything, but got those issues solved. So I say that outbureau.com kind of hard launched in March, and it now has, I wish there was a little magic button that I could just press and everyone except, you know, the 46,500 members in my LinkedIn group to just pop over and everyone just start using it. That's right. What I would like. I mean, I don't actually post a whole lot on LinkedIn any longer. So most of my news curation, and there's a good handful of people that actually use the site every day now, outbureau.com. I'm thrilled because now every single day, it might only be a few, but every single day there's new members joining the site. So, and as I get some of the hopefully negotiations that I'm going through right now in businesses that I hope will get a lot of press coverage due to the names of the organizations and companies, more buzz will start happening. So the site will start being a real active, hopefully, even more, you know, just like growing the LinkedIn group over 12 and a half years. Like, it's just a lot of work, and I don't have a, you know, $2 million advertising budget to create the awareness.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of that though, I mean, it just popped into my head, but I'm thinking that there's an opportunity for you there, even with working with someone at Fiverr.com, one of these database people, to actually build into your outborough for companies like myself. It's a lot easier for you to say, hey, Jeff, I've started something for gayrealestate.com. We've actually put together this real estate section. I've added you in there. Check this out and, you know, let me know your thoughts. You know.
Oh, well, because the site is pretty much done, but that's easy. So I can create the site and add you or whomever you would like it. So there's multiple roles. There's administrator, and then there's like moderators. So we can work all that out very easy now. But so cool. So is there any kind of I guess through the course of the, well, let me ask. So it's been since around what, 1994 or so that you've been doing the
93.
And what, from a kind of a business perspective, perhaps, what would you find is maybe some kind of interesting moments or kind of pivotal moments or major, you know, struggles that you work to overcome, if anything kind of pops in your mind?
So one of the things is, I think we always have to be aware of what's happening around us, because you speak with enough entrepreneurs and you're a successful entrepreneur yourself, you understand that there's opportunity all around us if we're aware as we go through the day. So, and the other thing is, you know, not to be afraid to ask. So when I first started collecting these referrals via the Advocate magazine ad, I wrote the information down on a piece of paper, and I was collecting these pieces of paper on my desk and trying to call. And at one point, there was a Christmas party, and I sat next to a woman from a title company. Her name was Jody Gerber. And she's like, what are you up to? And I told her this new idea. And she's like, well, if you ever need help, let me know. So she's still with the company today. So there's, you know, there are people that will help you build your dream. Even though it's a one-man show like you, there are always people that are out there that are willing to help you. Mm. So there's always challenges in the business. And one of the huge challenges I'm having that just happened Friday is Google decided they were going to shut all of my paid advertising off.
Oh, really? Have you found out what happened? Or
this happens about every 4 years. And what happens is there's an overzealous Google employee that I think is probably also homophobic that actually flags all the ads and says that there's a housing violation. Now, to advertise real estate services or real estate related services at Google, you cannot target by age, you cannot target by sex, you cannot target by zip code, you cannot target by income. But your ad can say whatever it wants. So we don't target any of that. All we do is place an ad that says, you know, connect with one of the nation's top gay realtors, that sort of thing. So because this employee sees gay realtor in there, they then consider this a violation. They shut all the ads off, and it takes me a week of explaining, and especially now with coronavirus, where you get a reply every 24 hours and you go back and forth to get that back on. So that's a constant frustration. Mm. There is homophobia on the planet. When I lived in Denver, Colorado, I actually had a detective with the Denver Police Department assigned to me because I was receiving death threats.
Oh my.
So this could just be one random crazy person throughout the country that finds your site, decides to attack you, decides what you're doing is against their beliefs, religions, whatever it is. And suddenly, so you have that sort of stuff to deal with. So in business, as an entrepreneur, there are new challenges every day, and you never know what those are. Today, mine is getting my Google Ads back online. So
wow.
That's just kind of the name of the game. Fortunately, I have some tools to deal with that. I actually host a podcast, which is The Dominating Edge. It's, if I can do a free plug here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's dominatingedge.com. And I'm kind of a new thought guy and teacher, and I teach people about the law of attraction. So if you're interested in listening to my podcast, which over a million people have listened to, it's
wow.
dominatingedge.com. And briefly, here's how the law of attraction works. Our predominant thoughts, followed with our emotions, attract similar, even stronger thoughts and emotions, eventually manifesting in our life. So what we teach people is, if you want to change your life or any area of your life, the first thing you have to do is change your thought. If you can change that thought and then work on your belief so your emotion is behind it, then you can attract that into your life. But nothing can change, nothing can get better in your life until you think a new thought.
I could not agree more.
Nikola Tesla, the scientist, said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Well, what we know is our emotion is energy, and energy is magnetic. So if we're fearing something, that fear emotion will actually attract what it is we don't want. So we can think of what we do want and live our perfect life. So, thanks for letting me give that little 2-minute plug.
Yeah, well, it also ties into the magic and miracles happen when you believe.
Right.
You believe in yourself and you take action. So
that's right.
And to quote RuPaul, honey, if you can't love yourself, who else is going to, right? Or however
right.
I paraphrase it.
Who snaps?
Yeah. So it is about changing your own thoughts, because you know you have to unprogram the possible negativity that has bombarded you in the past. You know, if your parents, if you were brought up and you were constantly told you aren't going to do anything with your life, you're bad at school, you're never going to be an entrepreneur, you're not going to do this, you can't do that, you can't, right? You have to block that out, reprogram your brain, be as optimistic with that as possible, loving yourself, believing in yourself, and taking action, whatever that is, every day towards it. It's like on my business, as I say, I never get everything I want done. I need mini-me's. I need minions. I need to be able to clone myself, or, you know, once income, I can hire the people to do that. But every day I work on getting something accomplished that moves me towards my goal. And as it does, it snowballs. So similarly in what you're saying is, and then that attracts the people, right? Because you're putting
right.
it out there. So the biggest
That's
thing
right.
is you're believing in yourself, you're changing that mindset, and you are putting it out in the world and taking the action towards it, that then that brings other people in your sphere that can be customers. It
right.
could be business partners, whether in the company or helping you achieve your goal, and or site members, you know, all of that kind of stuff
Absolutely.
Comes in. So absolutely. Cool. Well, we'll make sure we also on your profile on outbureau.com have links to that as well. So there are currently two websites. So if you'd like to have those there, we'll make sure that we link to your outbureau.com profile in the show notes. So
Thank you, Jeffrey,
it's such a good conversation. I appreciate you having you here. Love what you do as a business, and that it's a positive business in the community.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dennis. And I really appreciate all that you're doing at Outbureau. I actually have really enjoyed watching all of the interviews that you've done. I feel like these are, you know, so often as business owners, we end up in our little bubble running our businesses and day-to-day operations that we don't get the opportunity to get out and meet people like someone, you know, like Matt with Pink Banana Media. He's out at all these events and meets and knows everyone. And I could watch you and watch Matt and meet these people that I otherwise never would have met. And then reach out to them if there's common interest or a common opportunity to work together. So thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate that.
So, and it's really great because too, this also, as I get to know people more and as you, the audience, gets to know these entrepreneurs and professionals more, you'll have a longer, deeper, richer story and connection with them and have them top of mind that you can refer. I have already been making connections and referrals with my past interviewees, with even people I'm on the phone with now, literally just yesterday, doing a first introduction with someone. I'm like, oh, well, do you know this person and this person and this person? They're like, no. I'm like, okay, honey, go check out the interview and then tell them I said that you need to that you needed to contact them. And they were like, oh my God, this is a perfect business thing. I've done that so many times just in the last 4 weeks. One new interview about to be released as well is a new resort that's going to be the largest LGBT resort in Florida. I know the owner and founder of it. I'm connecting him with other people that I've already interviewed. Tom Christ of Orlando, who also runs the of the Gay Disney Days. He and his partner run a whole weekend event called Magical Weekend, and he has
has the AT&T
exactly. So great connection for you as well. If you're not already connected with them, you could earn referrals for referring folks to the AT&T National Directory that he has. So see, right. That's what's so beautiful about this is that, you know, there's so many people that I'm connected with, but these are allowing a deeper, richer level of connectivity and information sharing. And what's so beautiful is that because this is an interview, it's not just going to be just me and you having this conversation, which are I enjoy, but we'll be having it out there so that anyone can view it, maybe get inspired by your story to start their own business, or they'll be learn about you to utilize your service, or they will see this and go, oh, I need to connect with them for some business opportunity. So I am just absolutely loving this. And it's an honor to be able to chat with everyone from around the world. So again, I know it's coming up on our time, so we'll need to wrap it up. So Jeff, I so much appreciate you taking time out of your day to have this conversation with us and sharing more and some of your history and journey of gayrealestate.com. And we'll make sure we have the links to your podcast, which sounds very interesting to tune into.
Thank you so much, Dennis. And I'm happy to speak with anyone if they have questions about gayrealestate.com, my podcast, or a business that they're considering starting. They want to bounce it off of someone. I'm happy to do that. My email address is jeffhammerberg@gmail.com. And you can get the link to that at outborough.com. Dennis, I saw
awesome. Thank you so awesome. Much. Well, thank you everyone for staying tuned this long. We much appreciate it. And to ensure that you stay tuned for future episodes, make sure that you go ahead right now and smash that subscribe button. And while there, click the bell on YouTube to ensure that you are actively notified on your phone or desktop of new episodes as they come about. And as always, we are also on at over 14 podcasting apps, including Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and About 10 others. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.